This is Ethan Winterovich, sales agronomist with CHS Ag Services at Stephen, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network, CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Don Wick with Jamie Dickerman and Chloe Wadd. Today is the final day of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour, with both legs wrapping up their session in Rochester. Ted Seifried of Zahner Ag Hedge is on the western side of the tour, and said the soybeans in western Iowa look better than the corn.
First two polls were rather underwhelming. This last stop that we just had is, I think, the biggest corn yield estimate I've seen. Sand is good. Population is good. Ear count's consistently over 100 on the two 30-foot rows combined.
Pro Farmer releases yield estimates for the three westernmost Iowa 9 reporting districts. All three of the soybean pod counts were a touch lower than last year, but higher than the three-year average. Corn was 3 to 8% less than a year ago, but close to the three-year average.
Doug Miller has participated in the Pro Farmer Crop Tour for over 20 years. There were some issues during his travels across Illinois.
We got our boots, our feet muddy, and we got into the corn. I mean, they've got good corn, but there's more tip back, and I think they've had a few issues during the summertime, you know, with this crop. But it's going to be a good crop, but I don't think it's going to be no record crop.
The Illinois corn yield estimate is just over 184 bushels per acre. That is down from a 200 bushel corn crop last year, and it was the lowest corn yield estimate in 7 years. The soybean pod count in Illinois was down 3% from last year. Both groups will spend some time in northern Iowa today before heading into extreme southern Minnesota. Pro Farmer will release its crop production estimate tomorrow.
A warm and breezy day is ahead across the region. Highs today will range from the upper 70s to mid 80s, and northwest winds could get gusts into the 20s. A few showers are possible. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny and warm. Highs will again reach the 80s, and a few storms are possible Friday afternoon and evening, mainly across the northern and eastern areas. The weekend should stay near normal for late August. Highs will range from the upper 70s to mid 80s, and most areas will stay dry Saturday, with small chance for showers Sunday evening. And on rainfall totals, Yulin, Minnesota has 83 hundredths of an inch, Hillsboro, North Dakota, 75 hundredths, Ada, Minnesota, 42 hundredths, and Wadena, Minnesota, 34 hundredths of an inch.
North Dakota Representative Julie Fedorchuk says the Trump administration is working to open more markets for U.S. agriculture. Fedorchuk hosted U.S. Trade Ambassador and Chief Ag Negotiator Julie Callahan in Grand Forks yesterday.
10 new trade agreements, comprehensive trade agreements, opening up new markets to agriculture all over the world. And she emphasized in every one of those deals, they're being specific to include soybeans as much as possible where appropriate, to lessen our dependence on one that major commodity for China sales. And so anytime we can do that, that's a win as well. We don't want to be dependent only on China to sell our soybeans. So they're really being strategic and targeted and, laser focused on opening more markets for American agriculture.
Fedorchuk says another focus is fair trade for Red River Valley sugar beet growers. She is among 112 members of Congress asking the U.S. Trade Representative for a Section 301 investigation into foreign sugar trade practices.
The countries are bringing in sugar beyond the quotas and selling it at a price that is far below the cost for our own producers. There's supposed to be a Tier 2 tariff to prevent that from happening, but the tariff hasn't been adjusted for 26 years. It's too low, and it's not preventing those sorts of imports from coming in and flooding our market and undercutting our sugar producers. This is a very important commodity. It's a very important rotation in the Red River Valley that helps sustain our farms and ranches, farmers here in this region. And so we have to have a fair playing field.
Fedorchuk says the investigation remains a priority, but the process takes time. She plans to keep pressing U.S. trade officials to update the tariff and protect the domestic sugar market.
United States and Canada apparently have a tentative trade deal. If finalized, this agreement would shut down the 50% U.S. tariffs on key Canadian products. Details sketchy, but President Trump said Canada agreed to end tariffs on U.S. ag products. Meanwhile, the Canadian trade minister said Canada's farm sector will be protected. The senior Canadian official said the U.S. dairy industry will get more access to the Canadian market.
The Trump administration is working to open more foreign markets for U.S. agriculture. U.S. Trade Ambassador and Chief Ag Negotiator Julie Callahan spoke with farmers and ag leaders in Grand Forks Wednesday. Callahan says her goal is simple.
I don't see countries. I see all of the bad behaviors. You know, I see, okay, Japan, that's a great country. They're not accepting U.S. potatoes, and that's not right. And so every country, I have a wish list of things where we need to open that market for all of these U.S. products, whether it's dairy, beef, pork, poultry, soybeans, corn, tree nuts, every commodity that's grown in the United States. My job is open that market to make sure U.S. farmers can compete with third countries and build market share all over the world.
Callahan says the U.S. agricultural trade deficit is improving.
2026, year to date, our ag deficit with the world is a little over $12 billion. That's not great, but last year at this time, it was $28 billion. So we have cut the deficit by more than 50%. I'm not going to rest until we have an ag trade surplus with the world. And we're really on the right track. It's sort of like turning a cruise ship. You know, we had 4 years where we were kind of losing momentum, and now we're getting that momentum back to open markets for U.S. ag.
The Senate Farm Bill is stuck after Democrats voted against the bill in committee. Senate Majority Leader John Thune says a one-year delay in new SNAP cost-sharing rules was added to build support. He says the White House agreed with that plan.
You know, the White House was involved in helping us as we negotiated that. We were trying to come up with something that a bill that the president would sign. They were agreeable to a one-year delay. And what's interesting about it is we did that really to help get Democrat votes, and they block voted against it because they say it isn't enough.
Speaking at Dakota Fest in Mitchell, Thune said one-year delays could still provide a path to getting the farm bill through Congress.
We thought that was a fair landing spot. Chairman Bozeman worked closely, obviously, with the White House. And I think if we were to get that through the Senate, that if the House understands that that's the price of admission in terms of getting a bill, then I think we could probably get it done. But going farther than that is a non-starter. And I think that's where the Democrats, in the end, at some point, are going to have to decide whether they want to play ball or not. If we get E15 on this, we get a whole bunch of other policy stuff that they want on there, and they block vote against it. I don't know how you explain that if you represent an agricultural state.
The House has passed its version of the Farm Bill. The ball is now in the Senate court. South Dakota Congressman Dusty Johnson remains optimistic about the legislation.
I would say that if the Senate-passed Farm Bill came to the House, there would be a lot of grumbling on the Republican side, and we would lose some votes, but we would pick up enough Democrat votes, I think, to offset it. The issue would be if they have to make a lot more concessions to be able to get it out of the Senate. That may complicate the math in the House. But if the current current package came over, Scott, I would tell you I'd be pretty confident it would pass out of the House, and then we'd have a farm bill.
South Dakota Senator Mike Rounds, who also part of the congressional forum at Dakota Fest, likes what he sees in the Senate farm bill.
We've got mandatory country of origin labeling included. We've got E15 right now in a very good position. That would be a voluntary across the entire country. That adds value. And the one thing that we know is that we can either be commodity producers here in South Dakota, or we can be adding value. And as John said, when we produce and then we add value to it, whether we're talking the turkey processing plant in Huron or whether we're talking about beef processing, the name of the game is whatever we can do at the local level and add value to it, the better off we're going to be. And that's what a lot of the modifications in this farm bill are designed to do.
Meanwhile, Rounds and Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar have introduced legislation to create a new voluntary grazing land restoration program that would open up to 20 million new acres for grazing. In a statement, Rounds says the so-called Ranch Act provides enough grazing land to support 2 to 4 million additional beef cows.
Ukraine has offered Russia a deal to stop attacks on civilian ships in the Black Sea. Reuters report the offer was sent through third party, and Russia has not yet responded. The Black Sea is a key export route for both countries. Attacks on ships and ports have grown since July. That has raised new concerns about grain and food supplies around the world. Both sides have a similar deal in place under the Black Sea Grain Initiative. That agreement ended in July 2023. You are listening to the Red River Farm Network.
Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. President Donald Trump is warning of tougher economic sanctions on Iran. Trump says the U.S. could target more parts of Iran's economy as pressure builds over the Strait of Hormuz.
We have things that we could sanction. We have very draconian sanctions, and we'll see what happens. Right now, the strait is open. A lot of boats are coming through. People aren't reporting that, and that may slow down a little bit at some point. But right now, a lot of boats are coming through. The naval blockade has been extremely effective. Literally, while it's up, and it's been for quite a while, except for a couple of little pauses where we opened it purposely with a deal.
Trump says oil prices could fall if the conflict eases.
The blockade has been 100% successful. No boats have gotten into Iran, but they are getting in for other places. But we'll see. We're going to see what happens. It'll either be extremely good and oil prices are going to drop like a rock, or we'll continue to do exactly what we're doing. They were talking about $350 a barrel, and it's today $84, $85. So I think the Hormuz Strait's not going to be quite as important as it was in the past.
Trump also called on other countries to stop giving Iran financial or trade support. The White House has not yet released full details of the new sanctions.
Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent took action to ease long-term interest rates. Ag Bull Trading President Tommy Grisafi said this dramatic action influenced the outside markets.
They start buying back 30-year Treasury yields to knock down interest rates. That goes back to a play right out of the quantitative easing book. And that made gold skyrocket. So gold went from down $50 to up $125, $150, $175 per ounce moving. Gold, silver's up, crude oil's up big. Crude oil was just up $1.85. So we're seeing a real pop in commodities.
Checking markets, we are stronger this morning in the grain trade. Minneapolis wheat September, 5¾ cents higher at $6.99¾. The December contract, 6¼ higher. Chicago wheat, December, 7.03¼, 5¾ higher. Hard red winter wheat, September, gains 2½. September corn, 4¾ better, 4.77¾. New crop corn, a gain of 4¾ cents. Soybeans, September, 12.24¼, 2 higher. And new crop soybeans, 3¼ higher at 12.40½. Of course, all eyes on the final day of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the farm calendar, the Northland Potato Growers Association field day today. In just moments, they'll be at Hoverson Farms at Larimore. They'll have research presentations beginning at 8:15. At midday, they'll be at the Forest River Colony and have field tours this afternoon, also in Inkster this afternoon. And coming up late today, the third stop on the field tour will be in Hoople. Again, that's all with the Northland Potato Growers Association. Thanks for listening. This is the Red River Farm Network.